So last week, we began celebrating Easter by studying the Gospel of John, in which Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John go to the tomb where the body of Jesus was laid. But only Mary Magdalene sees the risen Christ, but she doesn't recognize him initially. Today, we continue to celebrate Easter by studying the Gospel of Luke. Two followers of Jesus are traveling to Emmaus, and the risen Christ joins them on their journey. They also do not recognize him. May we encounter the risen Christ as we study this passage together, realizing that we have the presence of Jesus in our life journeys. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you for your Son, our Savior and Lord. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of Jesus and see his presence in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So the story that is so beloved of an Easter vision of the risen Christ begins with verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. So it's the same day. It's the same day that everything has happened, that the tomb is empty, that the women have said it's empty, and the disciples go to see the tomb, and they confirm it's empty. So everyone's trying to sort out, what does this mean? Now, these two were traveling to Emmaus were not one of the original 12 disciples. They were followers. And they were confused, of course, and they were grieving. Think back to a time when you experienced disorientation. You know, you don't even know which end is up. Everything is just sort of spinning. Your life is just in flux. Pain and confusion. This is what the disciples experienced when Jesus was crucified. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah and did not expect him to die a shameful death as an insurrectionist. Not only were their dreams shattered, but they were also afraid that the Roman authorities would punish, possibly kill them too. Knowing the disciples would experience disorientation and fear, Jesus repeatedly predicted his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion, and explained to them about his resurrection. Jesus offered them peace, yet they did not understand. Dear friends, be assured that Jesus is with us in the midst of our pain, in the midst of disorienting times, and Jesus offers us the peace that passes all understanding. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. They were kept from recognizing Jesus. God prevented them from immediately recognizing Jesus. Now, the Greek word that Luke uses could mean recognize or could mean perceive. Do we also fail to recognize Jesus? Do our expectations of Jesus prevent us from perceiving his presence? My morning devotionals includes a prayer attributed to St. Patrick, and one of the phrases describing Jesus is lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. This is an amazing paradox, and it's true. It's true for Jesus. But sometimes thinking of Jesus as lowly and meek, in addition to all-powerful, doesn't occur to us. It's a helpful reminder every day for me to remember that Jesus is both. That Jesus, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, he chose to be emptied, to come to us, to live among us, and to be the suffering servant. So do we embrace the Messiah who is lowly and meek and all-powerful, or do we choose to have very limited perceptions of Jesus? he asked them, so Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. They stood still. Their faces are downcast. This question causes them to stop. Their grief overwhelms them. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. I found this joke several years ago, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it's applicable. Cleopas asks, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? Have you been living under a rock?" Yeah, Jesus responds, "You have no idea." Cleopas then provides a summary of the events of Holy Week, yet he doesn't understand them, as he describes them to Jesus, who is the only one who fully understands them. It's a really nice bit of irony that Luke weaves into this story. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," he said. "He was a prophet who did miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Notice that Luke keeps the time woven in this story of 3 days ago. And this is how we know that it was 3 days that Jesus was crucified in the tomb and then resurrected. Throughout this gospel, Luke characterizes Jesus not only as a prophet, but also Lord, Messiah, Son of God. Cleopas is expressing their crushed hopes that Jesus was the Messiah who would redeem Israel, but perceived Jesus' crucifixion as the end of their hopes. People in the first century wanted the Messiah to kick out the Romans and restore Israel as a nation. And an important theme in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus is the Messiah who will redeem Israel and be a light to the Gentiles. As we studied during Christmas, Luke describes Simeon, an old man who is waiting to see the consolation of Israel and the prophecies. When he sees the baby Jesus in the temple, he proclaims, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." Luke writes that the prophet Anna, who was also in the temple that day, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. By speaking of Jesus as Redeemer for Israel, for whom they hoped, Cleopas is again referring to Isaiah's description of God providing a Redeemer, the Holy One, and longing for Scripture to be fulfilled. Cleopas and his companion do not understand that Jesus' death and resurrection were the fulfillment of Scriptures and their hopes. Verse 22, the story continues. "Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They had said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Now, there's a slight difference in the NIV for this verse, and I'd like to read that to you and offer that to you as part of understanding of this story. "Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Cleopas concludes his story with the empty tomb and the emphatic statement, "but they did not see Jesus," unaware that he and his companion are in the presence of the risen Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scripture the things concerning himself. By explaining scripture, Jesus begins the process of revealing himself to his followers. It was necessary for Jesus to suffer as the suffering servant, as prophesied in Isaiah, to fulfill the scriptures and for Jesus to enter into glory. The glory of the Lord is an important theme in Luke's gospel. Jesus entering into glory is anticipated by the angels announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and then the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Luke, as the other gospel writers, does an amazing job of beginning a story and then weaving the elements of that story through the entire book. And while it's wonderful to read passages if you have a daily lectionary where you're reading different verses, it's also good to read an entire book from beginning to end as part of a devotional. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on. So Jesus continues to walk as if he intends to go farther. Notice he does not impose himself on the two followers. He allows them to choose to invite him to remain with them. Faith is a voluntary response to God's grace. May we say yes to God. May we say yes to God in our life and to be obedient to what God wants for us. But they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it is getting late." So he went home with them. He went in to stay with them. They are practicing hospitality and table fellowship that Jesus demonstrated to his followers. They're inviting the stranger to join them. We are also called to offer hospitality to strangers and to those who cannot repay her our hospitality. And we do that regularly. We do that on Sunday as we greet people who are visitors. We do that with our food bank when people come to see us on Friday. That's something that we do regularly, Hope, and that's part of us living into the response that Jesus wants us to offer. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. The guest becomes the host. They are reminded of Jesus feeding the 5,000, a miracle. Their eyes are opened by Jesus, who reveals himself through Scripture and the breaking of the bread. Dear friends, we are reminded not only of this miraculous event, but also, more importantly, Holy Communion. The church continues to experience Jesus' presence when we gather to receive Holy Communion. And so when we come forward, we know that Jesus is inviting us and Jesus is present. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" This is how we encounter the risen Christ, by reading scripture. When we read scripture, we pray to the Holy Spirit to illuminate the passage we are reading so that we may perceive what God wants us to learn and to be transformed by it. This isn't just head knowledge. We want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit when we read scripture. And when we read scripture together with other believers, that helps us with the Holy Spirit guiding us. And our hearts burn within us with the presence of the Spirit as we read scripture. So they got up and they returned to Jerusalem at once. So great is their excitement at seeing the risen Lord, they returned to Jerusalem immediately. Now remember, it's 7 miles. And it's getting dark. And they nevertheless get up and they decide to return to Jerusalem. They weren't commanded to go. Jesus disappeared right after the breaking of the bread. They go in response to perceiving the presence of Jesus, and they want to tell others. May our joy propel us to proclaiming the gospel to others too, just like them. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord is really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. So why is it important to Luke to record that the followers did not recognize Jesus when he was present with them? Perhaps it's because Luke probably converted to Christianity after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Luke wants to assure those of us who did not see Jesus as he was alive before his crucifixion, or those days that he was walking on earth after his resurrection, he wants to assure us that we may perceive his presence in the reading of Scripture and the breaking of the bread. Luke's word speaks to Christians throughout the centuries of Christ's presence in our lives, even though we do not perceive him standing before us. This is similar to the risen Lord's appearance to the disciples in the Gospel of John, when Jesus tells Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It's in John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus promises to be present with us in all that we experience, including moments of pain, fear, disorientation. We perceive Jesus as we read the Scriptures and partake in the sacraments. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may we perceive you, may we especially perceive your Son, Jesus, in our lives. May we trust in your presence and trust in the peace that only you can offer, no matter what the circumstances. And may you please help us to announce the gospel to others. Amen.